Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Conversations Live, where we connect you with the artists and authors you love who bring you the music and books you can't get enough of. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. I want to first thank those joining us here on the radio side of our program at 92.3 FM. We also welcome those joining us on the East Coast through DCNowRadio.com, as well as those tuning in through BlogTalkRadio.com, either through our switchboard, our live chat, or even joining us through our podcast. We're glad to have all of you with us. We have a great half hour coming up for you today. We're going to kick things off, actually, by something that was a little bit of a surprise for me. For those of you who might have been watching the news today, you know that the First Lady, Michelle Obama, came out with a brand new book today called American Grown. It talks a little bit about the garden that she planted at the White House, but also why. I got an email this morning from the publicist for the First Lady's Project, and they asked me if I would like to have audio from her actually reading of the book to kind of introduce it to our listeners here. Well, the book is available in bookstores all around the world now, but you're getting a first listen here on this program to the First Lady reading from that very book. Here she is, First Lady Michelle Obama.
On March 20th, 2009, I was like any other hopeful gardener with a pot on the windowsill or a small plot by the back door. I was nervously watching the sky. Would it freeze? Would it snow? Would it rain? I had spent 2 months settling into a new house in a new city. My girls had started a new school, my husband a new job. My mother had just moved in upstairs. And now I was embarking on something I had never attempted before, starting a garden. But this was not going to be just any garden. It would be a very public garden. Cameras would be trained on its beds, and questions would be asked about what we planted and why we planted it. The garden was also being planted on a historic landscape, the South Lawn of the White House. Here, even the tomatoes and beans would have a great view of the towering Washington Monument. When I first arrived in Washington, I wasn't even sure that we could plant a garden. I didn't know whether we would be allowed to change the landscaping on the White House grounds, or whether the soil would be fertile enough, or whether there would be enough sunlight. And I had hardly any gardening experience, so I didn't even really know how to go about planting a garden in the first place. But one thing I did know was that I wanted this garden to be more than just a plot of land growing vegetables on the White House lawn. I wanted it to be the starting point for something bigger. As both a mother and a first lady, I was alarmed by reports of skyrocketing childhood obesity rates and the dire consequences for our children's health. And I hoped this garden would help begin a conversation about this issue, a conversation about the food we eat, the lives we lead, and how all of that affects our children. I also knew that I wanted this new White House garden to be a learning garden, a place where people could have hands-on experience of working the soil, and children who had never seen a plant sprout could put down seeds and seedlings that would take root. And I wanted them to come back for the harvest, to be able to see and taste the fruits and vegetables of their labors. So in 2009, on a chilly and windy but thankfully sunny first day of spring, I joined 23 fifth graders from Bancroft Elementary School in Washington, D.C., with shovels, rakes, pitchforks, and a few wheelbarrows to break ground for the White House kitchen garden. 20 days later, we were ready to plant. We put in lettuce and peas, spinach and broccoli, kale and collard greens. And for days after that, I would look at the freshly turned soil and wonder to myself, is anything growing?
That was First Lady Michelle Obama reading from her brand new audio book, American Grown. As I said, it is available in bookstores now worldwide, but we want to thank our good friends at Random House for making that available for us. Again, I think regardless of what your politics are, this is a book that, as she just explained herself so well, this is not about her. It's not about the president. It's not about Democrat or Republican. It's about addressing issues about what we eat, the way that we eat, and also how we're able to change our lifestyle. And she thought this garden was going to be a way to be able to do that. So, again, we thank First Lady Michelle Obama for making that available to us, and also our friends at Random House for doing so as well. Today's also special because we're going to be speaking with someone who's celebrating the release of his new book and also celebrating his career in music. We have Quadri El Amin joining us live to talk to us not only about what led him into the music industry, some of the people he's been able to work with, but also what he hopes we take away from his book, Amen. Quadri, thank you so much for being with us today on Conversations Live.
No, thank you for having me.
Well, congratulations to you on the book. We're going to get more into the book here in a moment. But when you look back at some of the individuals that you've been able to work with when we were promoting the show, we mentioned a few of them, like Vanessa Williams, of course, Michael Jackson, and others like Boyz II Men. When you look at the people you've been able to work with, how did this journey all begin for you, Quadri? When did you know that the music industry was an industry that you wanted to be a part of?
Yeah, I knew it when I was a kid. God had put in my heart. I guess I was watching the Ed Sullivan Show when the Jackson was performing, and I guess the bug bit me then. And I never did anything else, you know. I never worked no regular job, just been in the music. I started out passing out flyers for a local promoter, a guy named Jesse Bozeman, who was the president of the Black Promoters Association. And Jesse told me whenever I made enough money that I would be able to invest. Because I was suggesting, I think we should do this show, that show. But Jesse was putting up his money. So he said, well, look, whenever you get, you know, you get enough money to invest, then you could decide what shows I should promote, you know.
Right.
And I started promoting shows in college. And I was able to promote Sugar Hill Gang 15 days after they came out.
Wow. So you have seen the music industry go through a lot of different changes. You've seen the evolution as we've gone from, of course, the record players to, you know, being able to have the 8-tracks and then, of course, now CDs and now iPods. When you look at the way that music has changed, Quadri, and also the way that we get our music, what has it been like for you to be able to be a part of this evolution? Because you were there, really, I mean, when music really, I think, was being able to be seen as something that was important. So what has it been like for you to see the different changes that it's going through?
Oh, yeah, it's still basically the same. You know, it's always been, you know, and Don Cornelius basically described it to me when I used to push certain artists, and he always told me that the cream always rises to the top.
Mm-hmm.
Because even, you know, 'cause I've been involved with the music business for almost 4 decades.
Right.
And so I had conversations with a guy named Benny Ashburn, who was the manager of the Commodores. And Benny knew that, you know, Lionel Richie was special and the Commodores were special. And he knew that he had to get the right people to support him in order for them to win. It's the same now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you see... You know, it's still, you know, that you see, but look at the girl Rihanna, who's incredibly talented, but she has a great team. You know, you have the Def Jam squad, or you have Beyonce, who's incredibly talented, you know. So, and it's always been, like a lot of times people think the industry's changed, it's getting better now. And it's just because of the exposure, now you could dissect who's really good and who's really not. And
right.
Some people is okay, average, but it's some people who's exceptional. And even with myself, like I knew that as a kid that God had blessed me with the talent to be that middleman, to make things happen, and in a big way. And it's the same thing with these artists. Is the ones that God has put in their heart from a kid, they know it. You, like even a basketball player, a football player, but
right.
It's the one that really dig within themselves and pull out the best of them. So that's what I've done, and that's how I know that whenever you know I follow God's lead and I dig down deep myself, successful.
Right.
And nothing can stop me. Nothing. And Michael Jackson told me that. I remember one time I ran into him. I said, man, I was trying to get in touch with you. He said, I can't believe that Quadri Alamein couldn't get in touch with me. And I thought about it, and I was like, and then ever since then, I've never had a problem getting in touch with him. Because, you know, when you in your mind that you can't do something, you can't do it. But if you put positive, if you put out, I could do this, I could do this, you're going to end up doing it. You're not going to stop until you do it.
Right, right. Do you think it's that mindset, Quadri, that has kept you relevant over the past four decades? You mentioned the time that you've been in this industry. Do you think because of the fact that you're always learning, always evolving with the way that the industry is going, that is what keeps you relevant?
Yes, absolutely. And that's what's in my book by me, you know, reading the book and living the book, that's what I came up with, is the fact that knowing that you have it within you, man.
Yeah, yeah. For those that are just tuning in, either on the radio side of our program or through our online outlets, through DCNowRadio.com as well as through BlogTalkRadio.com, you're listening to Conversations Live. I'm speaking with Quadri Alamein. He's talking to us not only about his own journey in music. We've been discussing some of the individuals he's been able to meet and work with, but also what has kept him around. And you mentioned the book, and when you were deciding to write the book, who was your original audience for it? Who were you originally writing the book for?
Well, you know, believe it or not, I didn't decide to write the book. It was friends, people who cared about me, people who knew me and knew my story. And they said, you got to tell the story. And my life is exciting. Every day there's excitement to my life. Every day. Like just a little while ago, I just ran into Neo. And me and him ran smack. God told me to go. I went to get a pair of sneakers for my son. Well, really some shorts for my son. I go in the Foot Locker in the Beverly Center in Los Angeles, and I run right into Neil. And I had the pleasure of telling him how I'm a fan of his, how I appreciate his. And that's where my life has been. God had always put me, you know, like they said, at the right place, at the right time, and it's destiny.
Do you find that, I mean, as far as you mentioned Neo, and of course there are a lot of great artists out there, as you mentioned also, Quadri, but do you find that the staying power is sometimes, too, about the attitude? I mean, if you're thinking short-term, if you're thinking just trying to, you know, get rich quick, that you're not going to make it in this business, do you think your story is a testament to why it's important to stay consistent and to be in it for the long term?
Oh, yeah, because I don't do this because of the money. I do it because of the love. I love music. But from it, I've been able to make more money. My cup is overflowed. Overflowed. And even in my book, I lost my best friend. My friend, Khalil Roundtree, we grew up. Our dream was to be with the biggest group in the world. He was Boyz II Men's first road manager. And this weekend, Memorial Day weekend, was the 20th anniversary of his death. He died in 1992. We was on tour with MC Hammer, and he got killed, and I got shot when he got killed. And
oh, wow.
But from it, I had to keep on going. And even Boyz II Men, their parents, everybody said, look, they wanted to take him off the tour. And I was like, no, Khalil wouldn't have wanted it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I just gave my life to God. I didn't orchestrate nothing. I never had an agenda. I just followed God's lead. And the next thing, I went on a tour with them. They came to me and said, look, man, we need you to be the road manager. And then they asked me to be their manager.
Do you find that when you look at the artists that you've worked with, that not only have they learned from you, Quadri, but you've also learned from them along the way as well?
Yeah, absolutely. See, and that's it's the same thing, man. Boyz II Men knew his kids. They came from four different mothers and fathers, but each one of them knew of the greatness, and they wanted to get there. And so once they came together, they all had the same, it was the same common denominator.
Right.
And the thing of it is like I listened to, like, even Michael Bivins. I met Michael Bivins when he was 14 years old, like Bobby Brown, and we traveled with New Edition. We played like three shows with them. And them kids, they knew what they wanted to do at 14 years old. Just just like me, I knew what I wanted to do at 14 years old. So, but they need help. So they ask people to listen to them, believe in them, and support them. And that's what we do. And that's what I've done. Every artist that I've been blessed to work with, they already knew. Teddy Riley, a genius. Teddy knew what Teddy wanted. And Teddy needed somebody that's willing to listen to him, respect him, and support him. Vanessa Williams, Triple Threat. This lady is the most professional person I ever met. Always on time, polite, and just talent that you cannot imagine. And she's still holding back. She's shy in a sense. And I guess, she's probably, some people, that maybe she don't want to hurt people's feelings or whatever, but
right.
Incredibly talented. And so all she needed was the right support. And I was blessed to be able to help her to go on her first tour. She always had ambition in doing a tour, and people was pulling at her from different, because she was a Triple Threat, so you had people from the theater pulling at her, people from the movie. And I was blessed to be able to meet a guy named Norman Brokaw, who was the chairman of William Morris Agency. And I met him through Bill Cosby. He was Bill Cosby's agent.
Wow.
And Norman told me, whenever you need me, call me. So when Ramon Harvey, who was her husband, was having problems with, people pulling, because the music people, they only make money in the music business. The movie people only make money in the movie business. So Ramon Harvey told me what the problem was. So once I started managing, I called a meeting, and I called Norman Brokaw. He set up a meeting. It was my first teleconference meeting. We had all the agents from New York in the conference room, and we had all the agents in New York in the conference room. And Vanessa was in New York, and I was in L.A. And Norman said I had the floor. And I told Norman, Vanessa gave me her life. And she said all she wanted was holidays and her kids' birthdays off. And she said, I'm willing to work 24/7. And so what I told him was she gave me her life, and what I suggested was that we give everybody 3 months. So this way everybody get a chance to make money.
Right.
And it might have been one of the most successful years of her career, because she did Kiss of the Spider Woman on Broadway. We did a movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Racer. She went on tour with Luther Vandross. She released her album. But it was. I was blessed to be able to meet Norman Brokaw, and he basically, when the chairman sits everybody down, they listen.
Exactly.
And it was easy.
And you know, I think because of your experience, Quadri, that is why people listen to you. I want to say again, for those that are just tuning in, you're listening to Conversations Live. I'm speaking to Quadri El-Amin. He's the author on the subject of the book, A Man. And he's been talking to us a little bit about his story, and you can read more about it in the book. But I'm curious to ask you this question, because you started off this conversation, Quadri, telling us you spent 4 decades in this business. You've seen a lot. You've experienced a lot. When you look at the cover of that book, when you look at the little boy on that cover, what does the man today say to that little boy about the journey that you've been able to have?
Well, basically, what I like about that, even that little boy was called a man. My mother called me man.
Mm-hmm.
And when people used to see me, they used to say, that's a little man. From my journey, it's in the beginning, God created a man. So I'm trying to fulfill God's promise that he was going to create a man. And in order to do it, you need help. So I had help from people, not just famous people. I had help from people who's not even famous, but they touched me, they inspired me, and they believed in me. So that's why my book I dined with Nelson Mandela, I met Oprah Winfrey, but it's regular people who believed in me, and they're rooting for me, and they was pushing me.
Yeah.
So that's what, and I was blessed to be able to. My premise on life was to make first God and my family and friends proud of me. And all my clients has been referrals. Like, I don't advertise. I don't have a website. You know, I don't even, you know, I have business cards now, but I didn't really want to have a business card because it's distracting to me when you're accessible and people coming at you and you can't concentrate on your commitment that you made to other people. Like with Boys and Men, when I met them, it was people that came, or one guy I was going to pick up, his name is Johnny Britt. He's one of my best friends. Johnny is like Louis Armstrong, Marvin Gaye. And Johnny said, man, I want you to manage me like Boyz II Men. And I couldn't manage him. When he said that, I said, I can't, because I had made a commitment to my partner, Khalil, that I was going to make sure that these guys became the biggest artists in the world.
Right.
So I couldn't get distracted. And then, you know, and then when God blesses, I'm indebted to God. I can tell you, man, when I got shot, I was broke at the time. I didn't have no money. I lost my best friend. And God really just picked me up. And then next thing you know, man, miracles happen. And that's what my book is about. Everything in there is a miracle. It's not just one miracle. God, that's what I mean. God just keep blessing me. And all I do is I just give my life to God.
Yeah.
And so that's what I encourage other people to do is that, you know, God already, just by giving it, I lost a friend of mine over the weekend. And a friend of mine, his name was Ali Sharif Mandela. And Sharif, I talked to him about a couple of weeks ago. And Sharif, we was together with Eddie Murphy. We was together with Sugar Ray. He just gave me pictures for my book. And he kept telling me, man, you got to do humanitarian things. He said, I can't do it. He had diabetes and he had kidney problems. And he was on the dialysis 6 hours, you know, every other day. And he just lost his life. Don Cornelius just lost his life. And Don Cornelius was proud of me. Every time he would see me, he would smile.
Well, you know, I think that is what all of us can learn from that.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. No, I'm just going to say that is the kind of life all of us should want to have, is that where people, when they see us coming, they're smiling instead of running in the other direction, you know, that they're happy to see us, and it's great to be able to have that support system.
But you know why he was proud of me? Because I made decisions. I was an African-American, and I didn't have to talk to nobody. And I delivered, and he also delivered for me. We got Boyz II Men, the Entertainer Year Award, and I called Bill Cosby and got Bill Cosby to present the awards to him. And Don Cornelius told me his ratings went to the ceiling. Bill Cosby was the biggest TV star on TV. He was going to buy NBC at the time. For Vanessa Williams, I got Arnold Schwarzenegger to present a Lena Horne Award to her. And Don said his ratings went to the ceiling. Maya Angelou presented the award to Janet Jackson. And all these people, they don't want no money. So that's why when people talk about money, it's not about money. It's the people that I met, God's people, they want to help people. And they're the biggest people, and they got money.
Yeah.
And that's how they bless with money, because, like, even me, I want to be a blessing to other people. You know, and it's installed in me, the more we see, more you have to give.
Exactly.
Like, I'm in debt. So that's what I do. So I'm here, and when they call me, I'm there. God has not let me down. I'm equipped to deal with whatever situation they have. If they tell me that this is their problem, I resolve them. Boyz II Men, we was in Hong Kong. They said, we're in Hong Kong in the VIP room, and I'm over here in that conversation, and Nate says, oh, man, we would love to be in Forbes magazine. I heard him. So what I did was I called and said, what do you have to do on Forbes magazine? They said, well, you have to disclose your income. Now, most artists don't want to do it. But I remember Nate said that he wanted to be in Forbes magazine. So what I did, I called his accountant and said, look, I want you to submit this financials to Forbes magazine. They ended up getting Forbes magazine. They was 31, the highest paid entertainers. It grossed almost $40 million.
Hmm.
4 cats from Philadelphia. And that was just, that was almost like 4 months out of the year. It wasn't even the whole year.
Right.
But because this is what he wanted to do, and so I was able to make it happen. They wanted to sing at the Olympics. We did that. They wanted to win Grammys, American Music Awards. We did that.
And to Quadra, I want to say this, and then we're going to let our listeners know, of course, how they can get their book. I think what I'm taking away from what you're saying, from your, you know, from your own experiences and also what you've been able to do is help others, is that you have to be in a position to be used, and you have to make yourself available to be used, and not just for yourself, but for other people. It's just like you talk about that you saw a need, and so you were able to be able to fill that need based on the place that you were in. And I think all of us, no matter where we might be in our particular lives, that we can look at where we are and say, what can I do where I am? How can I be used where I am to be able to help someone else, you know, not make it so much about us? I think that's one of the great things about your sharing your experiences. Again, it's not about exactly you, but it's about how you have been able to be used to help so many other people, and that is what is appreciated. Again, Quadri El Amin is our guest. He's the author of the book, A Man, we've been talking about here. You can actually find it right now on your Nook for at barnesandnoble.com for only $9.99. You can get it there. Make sure you do check out your online retailers to be able to stay in contact with Quadri, as well as to get their copy of the book. And Quadri, I do appreciate you taking up this time, man, to be with us. It's been great not only sharing your experiences, but I think the inspiration that you offer as well.
Oh, thank you. And I'm going to be at the Jacob Javits Center on June the 6th at 1 o'clock, and I'm going to be signing books there. So anybody in the New York area, because I'm from New Jersey, so, you know, a lot of people that's in the book is going to be there, a lot of artists. Just invited as well, so it should be a nice event. But I'll be there to sign copies of the books. It's Jacob Javits, June 6th at 1 o'clock.
At 1 o'clock, okay. So June the 6th at 1 o'clock, and we'll make a note of that, too, on our website, too, Quadri. So thanks a lot for mentioning that. Man, congratulations to you on the book and also on living your life with purpose, and we look forward to staying in contact with you.
No, thank you, and thank you for having me, man. And I appreciate to come on right after Michelle Obama's book, man. You don't know, man. That's, you know, that's a blessing. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You can't make this up, man. You know, incredible things happen for me, man.
Yeah, well, you know what, and I think that's the thing about being used, man, and I appreciate you saying that, and we want to once again thank the good people at Random House for making that happen for us, too. Quadri El Amin, thank him, and also our friends at Double Exposure for making sure that he was able to join us. You know, if you missed any part of my program, don't worry, you can catch the entire podcast about 5 to 10 minutes after we go off the air by going to our radio website. That's at conversationsliveradio.com. Also, if you're friends with me on Facebook or follow me on Twitter, the link's already available on both of those sites. Just go to my Facebook page at Facebook.com/CAWeb4, that's CAWEBB, the number 4, and also on Twitter at Cyrus Webb, that's CYRUSWEBB. Also, I want to let you know that the excerpt that you heard from the First Lady Michelle Obama's book, as well as more about her finding out about her own heritage, can be found at DCNowRadio.com. Go there on their Podomatic link, and you'll be able to listen to it from there as well. So we want to thank our friends at DCNowRadio.com for making that possible. That's going to do it for us for this part of our show. Until next time, I'm Cyrus Webb saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music and also a great book. Thanks for listening to Conversations Live. Have a great one.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think no one is home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alerts, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-877-653-8844. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-877-653-8844. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-877-653-8844. That's 1-877-653-8844.
Attention Conversation Live listeners. Are you looking for a fun and exciting way to strike up an intimate conversation with your lover? If so, the Sex Bucket List is for you. With a page to personalize, your very own happy face stamper, and over 600 sextivities to stamp off before you kick the bucket, you'll soon discover a sexual side of yourselves that you never knew existed. Find us at thesexbucketlist.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook. Thanks for listening, and as always,